Christ, look at them, he murmured, and they're supposed to be this planet's hope for the future. They can't even organize a walk from the spaceport properly. None of them thought to take waterproofs. Have you ever been to Earth? Maki Gruta asked. Ralph turned away from the window, surprised by the younger man's question. Maki was normally keen to simply collect the money and run. No. I have. That planet is one giant hive queen for misbegottens. Our noble past. Compared to that, what this planet offers in the way of a future doesn't look so bad. Yeah, maybe. Ralph opened a drawer and took out his Jovian Bank credit disc. There's someone else going upriver with this batch of colonists, Maki said. My office had to arrange a berth for them. That's how I know. Ralph stopped in the act of authorizing the usual $300 fusadollar payment. Who's that? A marshal from the sheriff's office. Don't know his name, but he's being sent up to Schuster County to scout round. Ralph listened to Maki Gruter explain about the missing homestead families, his mind running over the implications. Somebody in the governor's office must consider it important, he thought. There were only 5 marshals on the planet. Combat specialists with nanonic-boosted metabolisms and well-armed. Colony governors deployed them to sort out severe problems like bandits and potential revolts, problems that had to be eliminated fast. Another of Ralph's briefs was to watch for pirate activity in the Lalon system. Prosperous Kulu, with its large merchant fleet, was engaged in a constant battle with mercenary vessels. Undisciplined, under-policed colony planets, with woefully deficient communications, were an ideal market for stolen cargoes, and most of the immigrants were at least bright enough to bring a credit disc primed with fusadollars. The contraband was invariably sold deep in the hinterlands, where dreams soured within weeks when it became clear just how tough it was to survive outside the enclosed comfort of an arcology. And nobody was going to question where sophisticated power hardware and medical packages came from. Perhaps those families had questioned the source of their windfall. "Thanks for telling me," he said, and upped the payment to $500 fusadollars. Maki Gruta smiled in gratitude as his credit disc registered the financial bonus. "My pleasure." Jenny Harris came in a minute after the transport manager left. A 30-year-old ESA lieutenant on her second off-world mission. She had a flat face, her nose slightly crooked, with short, dark ginger hair and a slim figure which belied her strength. Ralph had found her a competent officer in the 2 years she'd been on Lalonde, if a little bit too rigorous in applying agency procedure to every situation. She listened attentively as Ralph repeated what Maki Gruta had told him. "I haven't heard any word on unexplained hardware appearing upriver," she said. "Just the usual black market activity, selling off the gear which the spaceport crews lift from new colonists." "What assets have we got up in the Schuster area?" "Few," she said reluctantly. "We mainly rely on our contacts in the sheriff's office for reports on contraband, and the boat crews fill in a bit more of the picture. Communication is the problem, naturally. We can give our upriver assets communication blocks, but the Confederation Navy satellites would spot any transmissions even if they were prime encrypted." "Okay," Ralph nodded. It was an old argument, urgency against exposure risk. At this stage of its development, nothing on Lalonde was considered urgent. "Do we have anyone going upriver?" Jenny Harris paused as her neural nanonics reviewed schedules. "Yes, Captain Lamborn is due to take a new colonist group upriver in a couple of days. They're settling land just past Schuster itself. She's a good courier. I use her to collect reports from our in-situ assets." "Right. Ask her to find out what she can about the missing families and whether or not there's been any unexplained equipment appearing up there. In the meantime, I'll contact Solanke. See if he's heard anything about it." Kelvin Solanke worked at the small Confederation Navy office in Durringham. Confederation Navy policy was that even the humblest of colony worlds was entitled to the same degree of protection as any of the developed planets, and the office was supposed to be visible proof of that. To underline the fact, Lalonde received a twice-yearly visit by a frigate from the Seventh Fleet, based at Roheim, 42 light-years away. Between visits, a flock of Elint sensor satellites watched over the star system, reporting their observations directly to the Navy office. Like Ralph and the ESA, their secondary role was to keep an eye out for pirate activity. Ralph had introduced himself to Lieutenant Commander Solanke soon after he arrived. The Soldanas were strong supporters of the Confederation, so cooperation as far as locating pirate activity was concerned was a sensible arrangement. He got on reasonably well with the commander, partly due to the Navy's mess, which served arguably the best meals in the city, and neither of them made any mention of Ralph's other duties. "Good idea," Jenny Harris said. "I'll meet with Lamborn tonight and brief her on what we want. She'll want paying," she added in a cautionary tone. Ralph requested Lamborn's file from his neural mnemonics, shaking his head ruefully when he saw how much the woman cost them. He could guess how much she would ask for this fact-finding mission upriver. "Okay, I'll authorize it. Try and keep her under 1,000, please. Do my best. Once you've dealt with her, I want you to activate an asset in the governor's office. Find out why the Honourable Colin Rexrue thinks it's necessary to send a marshal to investigate some missing farmers no one has ever heard of before." After Jenny Harris left, he datavised the list of new arrivals into his processor block for analysis, then sat back and thought about how much to tell Commander Solanke. With a bit of luck, he could drag out the meeting and get himself invited to dinner at the mess.